Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. I'm your host, JT. I'm having difficulties with Block Talk Radio. I imagine my two co-hosts are sitting in queue waiting for me to talk to them, and I'm having technical difficulties right now, folks. So I'm trying to deal with them best I can. As always, the FSP Crew Show is always about conversation and information about the wonderful world of fantasy sports and politics. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. Like I said, I'm having technical difficulties, but we're dealing with it. And hopefully, I think I have gotten my looks like I have my studio on. Is my co-host Jeff the Joker sitting there?
I think I am.
Oh, okay. You have no idea the kind of problems I've been having trying to get into Block Talk Radio. Up until this point, I was blind. I've been trying for about a half an hour to get in to set up things, and I've been blind up until 10 seconds, and all of a sudden just appeared out of nowhere, Jeff. So I'm glad we both can converse with each other here. Like I said, this happens to be Jeff the Joker. He happens to be one of my co-hosts. Of course, I am JT, the host of the FSP Crew Show. And we're going to be talking about a few things that are taking place right now. And first of all, we're going to be talking about some basketball. We're going to be talking about some football, because there's football news coming on. Everybody who's interested in football quite naturally knows that the combine is quickly going to be upon us. And before you know it, football will be back under the eye of those who play fantasy and those who don't. So it's before you know it, football is 365 for me. I don't know about Jeff, but football is 365 for me. I study football. I study moves. I listen, keep my head to the or ear to the ground to try to pick up as much information as I can to benefit me when football does start. And that quite naturally, if you're a fantasy football player like I am, a deep one, I do believe Jeff is also, you have to do that in order to gain a competitive edge. So, but with that being said, Jeff, how you been today, man? How's it going?
I'm good. Well, you're preaching to the choir because, to me, fantasy football is 12 months of the year. And that's why, well, I'm in two, but one is newer, but that's why I'm in two dynasty leagues, because I don't follow baseball too close. I don't play fantasy baseball, so I want to keep the party going 12 months of the year. And one of the reasons I joined my first dynasty league was, I was a few years ago, I was busy patting myself on the back. because I think it was 2008 was a very good year for rookies.
Okay.
And I drafted a lot of these guys or picked them up as free agents. You know, I drafted them late or free agents. And not every year is a good year for fantasy rookies. Most years there's only a few fantasy-relevant rookies. And that year, you know, I had Felix Jones. I'm trying to think of some of the guys. Eddie Royal, DeSean Jackson, et cetera, et cetera. It was like a banner year. And I really kicked butt with these guys.
Sure.
And then I think, well, you know, I got to do, you know, I got to do a dynasty league. And then it just so happened a childhood friend of mine, you know, had this serious dynasty money league. They were looking for an expansion team, and it just worked out perfect.
Okay.
But the thing is, when you're in a dynasty league, everybody's all over the young talent.
That's right.
You're not going to catch anybody napping, you know. You're just not. But it's good. And that year, and it cracks me up because Eddie Royal was a one-year wonder, for lack of a better term. But I started him. I think it was that week he won a game on a 90-yard reception. What a pickup! What a pickup!
That in his rookie year, he had some nice games in his rookie year. He fell off after that, but his rookie year. So.
One of the reasons I liked him was, he was a second-round pick. It wasn't like he was a high first-round pick. He didn't have great numbers at Virginia Tech, but also there was three other wide receivers there he had to compete with, you know, for the ball. But I guess he showed enough and looked good enough in, you know, in the underwear Olympics, you know, at the combine, that would merit a second-round pick. Also, he returns kickoffs, too, which is important. And he worked his way into the starting lineup, and the fact that he was starting across from Brandon Marshall, who, you know, merits constant double team, made me think, okay, this guy, you know, he's starting, he's across from a guy who gets double teamed every play, he's worth picking up. And he really was. And for a larger league to have a guy like that to draft late, you know, you can't go wrong. But then it's so funny, the next year, guys were drafting him high, and, you know, he screwed more people than the government, you know.
Yeah, you know, I had reservations, especially when Brandon Marshall left. I think he left that year, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Or
he had a troubled year, whatever it was. I didn't think Eddie Royer was number one material. So I missed him the year he came out when he had a nice year, his rookie year, and then I really didn't even think about him after that because of Brandon Marshall not being there and not being handled pressure. And plus the fact is I think he also couldn't stay healthy for most of the year either, right?
You know, that's got a lot to do with it. You know, in football they say, you know, you can't make the club in the tub. And
right.
The same goes for fantasy football.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this guy, because at this point he's very obscure. Do you remember the Giants had a wide receiver named Tim Carter?
Tim Carter.
I won't hold it against you if you don't remember the guy, because he was, you know, this guy should have had a name tag on his spot in the whirlpool in the locker room for the Giants. I mean, this guy, he was the number two pick out of Auburn, and you know, my nickname for him was Tarzan, because he was a classic example. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. You know what I mean? he was the guy, you know, like football coaches drool over. And even just as a person, if this guy walked by you, you'd be thinking, what team do you play for? You know? But this guy, you know, the thing is, the sport is football. It's not bodybuilding. You know, if you're in shape, you should look like it, but that's not the goal. The goal isn't, you know, looking, you know, all chiseled and whatever. That should just be a byproduct. And, you know, this guy was just constantly on the injury report for the Giants, couldn't do much. I mean, I don't think he ever caught more than 30 passes in a season. And then, you know, they traded him to Cleveland for a warm six-pack, so then he got to, you know, sit in the hot tub there for a couple of years. And I was surprised they were able to get anything for him. And you know, he. But if you saw this guy, the first thing that would come to your head was pro athlete, you know, NFL athlete, and
right.
And he also was related to a lot of pro athletes. And now when you hear a pro athlete is cousins with some other pro athlete, unless you hear the details, they could be like eighth cousins. They don't, you know, it doesn't mean that they're close or whatever. But he actually, one of these big-name pro athletes who he was close with was Dwight Gooden. And,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, and just like to see this guy's pedigree, I think he was also, I don't know how close he was related to Chris Carter. He was related to all these other pro athletes, but that did not translate to on the field, you know?
Yeah.
You got to earn it. It doesn't matter what the family tree looks like.
That's true. What the heck was I going to say now? I lost my thought. Oh, before we slip into football, you had talked about briefly about baseball not being too much into baseball. I'm not too much into baseball, even though I happen to be a Mets fan. But that's neither here nor there. There is some breaking news today. I want to put it out there. I don't know if you heard about it or not. This is groundbreaking news. Let me put it this way. This is probably the first time in history that this has happened. Quite naturally, you know, Ryan Braun was suspended for 50 games by Major League Baseball for testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Well, it went to a – and he appealed it. And it went to an arbiter, and I'm going to read this article to you. It's from ESPN. The National League MVP, Ryan Braun's 50-game suspension was overturned today by baseball arbiter Jim Doss, the first time a baseball player successfully challenged a drug-related penalty in a grievance. The decision was announced by Major League Baseball's Player Association one day before the 28-year-old was due to report to spring training. Quite naturally, he's with the Milwaukee Brewers. He tested positive in October for elevated testosterone, and ESPN revealed a positive test in December. His quote is, "I am very pleased and relieved by today's decision. It is the first step in restoring my good name and reputation. We were able to get through this because I'm innocent and the truth is on our side. We provided complete cooperation throughout, despite the highly unusual circumstances. I have been an open book, willing to share details from every aspect of my life as part of this investigation. Because I have nothing to hide, I have passed over 25 drug tests in my career, including at least 3 in the past year." Now, the thing about it is this. He said, "Braun didn't argue evidence of tampering, didn't argue anything about science being wrong, but argued protocol had not been followed." A second source, which was confirmed by an ESPN investigative reporter, that Braun did not dispute the science, but rather questioned chain of custody / collection procedure. According to one of the sources, the collector, after getting Braun's sample, was supposed to take the sample to FedEx / Kinko's for shipping, but thought it was closed because it was late on a Saturday. As has occurred in some other instances, the collector took the sample home and kept it in a cool place and possibly refrigerated it. Policy states that the sample is supposed to get to FedEx as soon as possible. Supposedly, Braun's initial T/E ratio was more than 20-1, which is quite a bit. That's 20-1. I think that's quite a bit. A source says Major League Baseball is livid and is considering options and other comment. And this is pretty ironic too. It says no reasoning was given for the Thursday's decision. I don't understand that one. No reason was given for Thursday's decision. Today, the arbitration panel, this is a quote from the commissioner's office. Today, the arbitration panel announced its decision by a 2-1 vote to sustain Ryan Braun's grievance challenging his 50-game suspension by the commissioner's office. End quote. And that was a statement from the Players Association. Major League Baseball Executive Vice President Robert Manfred and Union Head Michael Weiner are part of the arbitration panel, and management and the union almost always split their votes, quite naturally, leaving the arbitrator, DAS, the independent panel, to make the decision. Quite naturally, management disagreed with the decision. It was the first time a drug suspension has been overturned in a grievance. Wow, that's crazy. And this is another quote from Manfred. This is from management. It has always been Major League Baseball's position that no matter who tests positive, we will exhaust all avenues in pursuit of the appropriate discipline. We have been true to that position in every instance because baseball fans deserve nothing less. And as part of our drug testing program, the commissioner's office and the Players Association agreed to a neutral third-party review for instances that are under dispute. While we have always respected that process, Major League Baseball vehemently disagrees with the decision rendered today by the arbiter. Now, Jeff, I'm going to bring in another caller. It looks like it's a Skype caller. But they disagree with it. They disagree with it. They agree with it as long as they get favorable decisions. As soon as they get one, which is a history making, they disagree with it. If I can understand that. And I guess they're trying other avenues to get Braun. That's what it sounds like to me. I got Black on here, but he can't talk yet. But hopefully when he can, he'll pop in here. You got any comments on the article I read and anything about that, what happened in baseball?
I mean, the thing is, I guess, this is the equivalent, of a court conviction getting thrown out on a technicality. I mean, this guy isn't a murderer. But, you know, the thing is, this is one of the reasons for just in my, work life. You know, I'm not a Major League Baseball player, obviously. But in theory, I don't have issue with urine testing. But in practice, I do because they're not 100% accurate. They don't always follow the proper protocol. You think with all the money around Major League Baseball, they would have their act together, considering what's at stake, yada, yada, which did this guy probably use PEDs? Yeah. But, if they don't follow the proper protocol, it gets thrown out the window. And now also, Manny got his suspension cut from, 100 games to 50?
Yeah.
He quit. So he got rewarded for quitting. Again, so he's trying to make a comeback, and I think maybe he realized he doesn't have a great legacy, but he was very productive for a lot of years, and if he just left the game with a whimper, everyone will just say, oh, he just took a lot of roids, and then when he got busted, he just quit. And I remember I know he was late in his career, but Rafael Palmeiro, the guy who's, I never touched steroids or whatever, looks right into the camera, in front of Congress, and boom, busted.
Right. Exactly.
And then he did finish that season. It was late in the season, and he was, I think, in his late 30s. He was towards the end of a very successful career. And he did come back. And at that point, I don't think he was an everyday starter. Didn't do so hot, but it wasn't a large sample size. And then just quietly slithered away. And I remember thinking to myself, if he could have come back strong, no pun intended, at least people could say, okay, this guy was the real deal. But he just, boom, just, like I said, quietly slipped out and probably destroyed any chance he had of getting in the Hall of Fame, which, quietly he had put up those kind of numbers. I think he had 3,000 hits, 500 homers, which is almost a guarantee.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And just like you said, he just pretty much fell off the face of the earth quietly. So it's you're right about that.
And now another guy who was never proven to use steroids, but there's a good chance that he did. Sammy Sosa, he kind of settled into a very quiet retirement, and I think he's enjoying life back home in the Dominican Republic, and the dollar's very strong there. He must be living very well.
Oh yeah. And the fact is, if you notice, and I don't know if it's because he may have gotten he may have jumped off the juice when everything broke, or his skills just diminished that quickly, but it seemed like his skills pretty much eroded pretty quickly. I don't know if it, like I said, if that was the juice or it was just that he was past the ability to play Major League Baseball, or it could have been a combination of both. Who the hell knows?
Baseball waited too long for testing, and it was just out of pressure. But when they started with the testing, it was very strict, and I guess this is their screw up.
They were reaping the benefits of these guys juicing.
You hit it on the head, right?
Yeah.
After they lost the World Series, they had horrible labor problems. The game, attendance was down, everything was down, and then McGuire and Sosa and a lot of other guys and Bonds start hitting homers like crazy, and people are lining up to see these guys.
Right.
They weren't gonna put the bite on them, but it's not proof, but to the naked eye and the people with common sense, it didn't look kosher. It really didn't, and came back to bite them.
Well, you had mentioned a word that pretty much is a theme of this show tonight, and that's pressure. And let me play.
It's not kosher? I thought it was kosher.
Well, kosher pressure. How's that?
All right.
Arbitrator to render a decision, and the decision didn't favor Major League Baseball. So the pressure on Major League Baseball, and especially Ryan Braun, to make sure Major League Baseball doesn't come after him in a different way. Going past baseball, there's pressure in the NBA today. The pressure I'm talking about is a marquee game that a lot of people are watching today. I happen to be watching it right now. It's at halftime. I do believe the Miami Heat are beating the Knicks by a few points. It's not a blowout. This is going to be a hard-fought game. Don't know who's going to come out on top, but there's a lot of pressure on the Miami Heat to put down the upstart Knicks. And there's a lot of pressure on the Knicks, especially Jeremy Lin and company, to show the NBA world and the Miami Heat that they're for real. And quite naturally, this is the last game for both these teams before they go into the All-Star game, which is being hosted in Orlando. So this is a marquee game. And then after this game, there's pressure on the Los Angeles Lakers to start performing like the Los Angeles Lakers because of all the talk about Paul Gasol trade, and they're trying to right the ship Kobe Bryant said he doesn't have faith in the coach. Kobe Bryant's also talking about they need, if they're going to trade Pau Gasol, trade him or shut up, basically shut up about it. So there's a lot of unrest in L.A., and they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma tonight also. Heck of a double play for the NBA tonight. I don't know if you're watching any of this, Jeff, but you got any comment on it?
Oh, yeah. I was watching a little bit before the show. Needless to say, I live very close to New York, and believe me, I think if you wanted to, you could hear about Jeremy Lin 24/7. I mean, the big news today is he finally got an apartment because he had been reluctant to get his own place because his contract wasn't guaranteed for the season. So he'd been staying at his brother's place on the Lower East Side, a one-bedroom apartment, which bedrooms are smaller in a place like New York. You know what I mean? So,
right. Sure.
So he has a brother who's going to, I think, NYU Dental College, and he'd been staying with the brother, but then sometimes he'd have to crash with his teammate, Landry Fields. He said his brother's couch is better than Landry Fields. And he said, because Landry's couch was too small. I'm thinking, you know, the Knicks, maybe they could have hooked him up with a place because they picked him up during the season. He gets paid his salary, but, he's on the couch all the time. That's not good for your back. He finally got his own crib. Former Knick, another fan favorite, not as big as Lynn, but very popular, David Lee, I think, had a condo he was looking to sell. I think he had offered it to
Jeremy. Oh, is that Lee. Right?
Yeah, I don't know all the details, and Lynn found the place. This guy is literally the toast of the town, and it's a good story. And, all the experts are saying he's for real. And, the Knicks have had – some of his big games have come against cream puff teams. But these are still NBA teams. I'll tell you, Sacramento, everybody's talking that they're going to move. They look like they already moved, okay?
I'm telling you.
A CBA team. That's an old reference. You know, that before the D-League, there was the CBA, which was a very good minor league. And, okay, Jerry, do you know who's blamed for destroying the CBA?
The CBA. Who's blamed for destroying the CBA? No, who?
The commissioner of that league at that time who ran that league into the ground and it's a shame. It was a very good, productive, solid minor league for the NBA for a lot of years. Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, wow. Well, what else is new?
Yeah, you know,
what else is new?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Isaiah Thomas could run for mayor of New York unopposed and lose, okay? And, hear about guys being the franchise. Well, once his career was over, Isaiah Thomas became the franchise killer. And then he didn't just kill franchises. He killed the whole league. And then the sad thing is, because people make their livelihoods off of that, or try to at least. And then he just runs that league into the ground. He made some very poor business decisions, and that's how it went on there. And then he just moves on to the next job like it ain't, but everybody else is left having to deal with it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I don't know what the
look, I'm telling you, can you get a minute? Look it up on in Wikipedia or whatever, but blame Isaiah Thomas for that. He's King Midas in reverse.
Wow. Well, I do know that, I don't know if you know this, Jeremy Lin's got a contract with Nike, a multi-million-dollar contract with Nike. These are $1 or $2 million contracts. So he's reaping the benefits of Linsanity right now.
Well, I think part of his appeal is the international appeal. I mean, he's an American. He was born here, but he's of Taiwanese descent. And supposedly his grandmother, who still lives in Taiwan, is getting hounded by the paparazzi over there. And that's the thing. I think most businesses, but I know major league sport businesses, they're always looking to expand into foreign markets. And, you know, Jeremy Lin has gotten a lot of attention from Taiwan, from China. And I'm sure the owner of the Knicks and, you know, the NBA commissioner are probably high-fiving each other over this because that's what they want. You know, why do you think they were so high on Yao Ming? Because there was about 1 billion people from his country, and most of them weren't NBA fans, and that was one of the reasons they tried to market that guy so much.
Yeah, and the thing about it, and I can't remember what interview it was from after one of these games, he still goes back to Taiwan every year. I think he's either for some type of charity work or he runs some type of camp or something like that. I'm not saying it's a basketball camp, but he still goes back, because he mentioned it, he still goes back to Taiwan to, you know, whatever he does in Taiwan, he's still continuing it, and he said he's still going to continue regardless of what happens, how crazy this gets or whatever. He's still going to do what he normally does because that's just the way he is. So, and, you know, let me put it this way, Jeff. This is how nitpicky and people are ready to because when you start getting a name right away, somebody's going to try to tear you down or say something negative. I don't know why it's like that. I have no idea that if somebody's positive and showing all kinds of positive signs, nothing negative, and you can see this is a good, genuine kid, that you want to think something negative about this kid. Anyway, I'm listening to The Fan. For those who don't know, it's a major sports station, one of the major sports stations in the New York metropolitan area. It's WFAN. They have various hosts at different times. This time it was talking. They were talking with Joe and Evan. You know who I'm talking, right? Joe Pingo and Evan. Okay.
Yeah.
Guy calls in and says, I think it was after the last game that they played, that he was saying that he was watching Jeremy Lin, and did you happen to notice the big gold watch on his wrist? Something he didn't. This is the first time he's had it. Now, this is the caller saying something. I never noticed this before. He never had it on his wrist before. Now he's got a big gold watch on there, insinuating that the fame of what's going on with this kid is going to his head. I mean, which is the farthest from the truth. And quickly, Joe and Evan knocked this guy down. To you know, when you get knocked down, the feeling within your mind is you want to crawl away as quick as you can and act inconspicuous as you can to avoid anybody else jumping on your back. Well, that's how they made this guy feel, and quite rightfully so. Because all of a sudden, because this kid may be reaping the rewards of what he's been doing. They want to knock this kid and put up a negative light on this kid when it wasn't even warranted.
See, that's the problem with New York sports radio. I mean, most major cities have one talk radio, and of course New York has two because it's so bad they named it twice. And, you know, when you have two teams in every major sport, you really, you know, have space to have two, you know, all sports talk radio station. And I think the two stations, you got WFAN and ESPN, they've gotten away from getting a lot of listener calls because, I mean, you might not like all of their hosts, but at least most of these guys know something and are somewhat sane. And,
mm-hmm.
But the jabronis who call in these shows, I think half of these people are mentally ill. And these guys call in, and these are usually, you know, guys who live in their mother's basement who can't even hold a job. And they will tell you how to run, you know, a multi-million-dollar business. These guys know everything. Right. Except I fill out a job application, you know?
Right.
Except how to use deodorant, you know? And the nonsense you hear from these guys is ridiculous. And I think they've gotten away from it because some of these calls were just so irrelevant. I mean, it's not even funny.
Right.
I mean, like I said, at least with the host, at least they're usually somewhat professional.
Sure.
But I guess in other NBA news, because, you know, besides the Knicks, there's 29 other teams. Well, there's a couple of things. The other night, the Knicks were playing a local rival, the Nets. I think the game was at The Rock, at the place where the Nets play in Newark, which, you know, they're playing there for a couple of years until their place in Brooklyn is ready. And Deron Williams lit it up. And I think, and I don't think it's a personal thing against Jeremy Lin, but, you know, I mean, you know, Deron Williams is one of the best point guards in the league, and, you know, a guy like him, you know, hearing 24/7 about Lin, and not that he's going to have anything against him, but these guys are very competitive. You know, that's
sure.
How to get where they are, and he's like, hey, you know, who's this kid? Hey, I got
right.
game. And that's what makes these guys great. They're competitors. I mean, say what you want. I mean, you know, the Michael Jordans, the Kobe's, why do they have so many rings? J-Lo, well, she's got a lot of rings, too. But, you know, why do, you know, Kobe, Michael Jordan, because these are the kind of guys, they want to beat you badly, even if they're playing their grandmother and gin rummy. It's not
okay.
personal. They want to beat everyone. And, you know, Deron Williams, I think, got pumped up, you know, because he knew everybody's going to be watching. And I think it was the first night of Lin's sanity was against the Nets.
Right.
And
yes, it was.
Yeah, because
that was the first game he got introduced into the lineup. And that's exactly that. So I guess the second time around, they wanted to prove a point, especially Deron Williams. And they proved it. So, I mean, I understand. Let's see if I can bring in our other co-host here, Black the Bookie. Black, you still with me or what?
Yeah, what's going on, fella?
Hey, welcome.
I had a little bit of an emergency, but I got that taken care of, man. I hear y'all talking about Lin Sanderson.
Oh, absolutely. They happen to be playing the Heat right now, and they're losing, like, I think, by 8 or 9 right now because the Heat went on a run. But, yeah, we're talking about that. How do you feel about Lin's sanity so far and how he's doing?
He is in the perfect system for his skills right now. I mean, it couldn't be a better match. Jeremy Lin and Mike D'Antoni. But we'll see how that goes and progresses through the season. Because even though they've had some good games and he had some good outings, he hasn't played a real tough guy besides Deron Williams. And you see what Deron Williams did for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you see? I don't know his stats right now because they're playing the Heat right now. I don't know exactly what his stats are because I've been on the show. And does anyone have the stats up until this point on what's going on?
I'm sure he's been averaging about 20 and about 8 assists, but I know his turnover ratio. I think he averages like 6 or 7 turnovers a day.
I'm talking about what's the season. Are
you talking about for tonight? Yeah. Yeah, I haven't checked it for tonight yet. I haven't even checked in that game yet.
Hold on a second. I got to get back to my computer. So speaking of that, Black, how's your NBA fantasy team doing?
Oh, man. We started out 4-0. Then I start losing guys the day to day, and Bonehead Rondo with the suspension for throwing the ball at the referee. And now I'm on a 3-game slab, and tonight I only have 3 guys going. And I have a full roster of guys, but everybody seems to be off tonight. I have 3 guys going tonight against my opponent's 10. So we'll see how this turns out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the last couple of games. I don't know if anybody's playing tomorrow. I kind of doubt it. I think tomorrow's probably a travel day for the weekend. I don't know if anybody's playing tomorrow in the NBA. I think this tonight may be the last time for the NBA games. Let me just look and see what we got here because I'm looking at the schedule as we speak here, see if anybody's playing tomorrow. Yeah, no games scheduled for tomorrow. So besides New York and Miami playing and the Lakers at Oklahoma City, Orlando's playing Atlanta, and San Antonio's at Denver, which should be a pretty good game also.
That Denver game means nothing because I've lost Gallinari for I don't know how many games now.
Ooh, ow. He was playing great, too.
He was
Ouch.
Playing great basketball. Great basketball, Joker.
And he's out for a while. Is he done for a year? I mean, this wasn't a hangnail.
I could not replace that production. I mean, I was able to get J.R. Smith, but, he is no Gallinari right now, and that's it.
Well, Black, tell me this now. How difficult? Because I've never played any other fantasy, but
don't
football.
Even think about trying to play fantasy basketball. You will drive yourself nuts. It's a daily process. You have to switch your lineup every single day, depending on the games on the schedule.
If fantasy base basketball is like that, Vic is trying to get us into fantasy baseball. I can't
no
even imagine
way
that.
I'm hopping on fantasy baseball at all.
I can't even fathom how fantasy baseball is. Joker, I don't know if you've delved into any other fantasy besides football. Talk to me.
I've received, more than several invitations to play fantasy baseball because some people assume if you like one sport, you like them all.
Right.
And I remember having a discussion with a former coworker who really tried to sell me on fantasy baseball. And there's several reasons why I didn't pursue it, one of which is because I don't know baseball very well. And I'm not being modest. And I was talking to him about, the details. And I guess similar to fantasy football, that there's a lot of different kind of leagues. And he was telling me there's some baseball leagues where you only have to update your fantasy team maybe once a week. Or at least I know there were some leagues where you don't have to do it every day, which is possible in football because they play almost every day except for break. And he did say there were some leagues where you didn't have to do that. And I guess if you're starting out, that's probably a good place to start. But, one of the reasons I didn't want to pursue baseball was I don't know the sport that well, and it's such a long season. It's such a commitment. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to be that guy.
Right. I understand.
The guy who messes it up for the people who are into it and know what they're doing,
Right.
And I take my commitment seriously. And I knew somebody who, was a casual baseball fan. They joined a league. He joins a league with his brother-in-law. And towards the end, he kept with it because he wasn't going to abandon his team. But he said it was literally a chore.
Right.
I want nothing to do with that. Jeremy Lin, about halfway through the third quarter, as far as stats go, it's a little slow for him. If you're not watching the game closely, you don't know for sure. But he has only 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. But he just got 2 points. He did cut down on his turnovers. I think it was his last game. He only had 4, which I think that's going to go down as he gets more familiar in his role. And now that Amari's back, Carmelo's back, the Knicks' problem might be they're only allowed to use one basketball, not 3. But,
yeah, that's true.
They'll work it out. They're going to work it out. And, everybody's really quick to criticize Carmelo, but, he did win a championship in college. And, he might be willing to score a few less points if it means the team is going to win. And believe me, the New York fans and media are so rough. Melo comes back from a groin injury, has a lousy first game, and they're on that guy like white on rice.
Yeah, I know. You're right. We got a call. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We got a caller from the 202. I think I know who this is, but I'll bring him anyway. Caller from the 202, welcome to the FFP Crew Show. What's your statement, comment, or question? Talk to me.
Well, the Joker spoke on the college, and I'm paying attention to the squad, D-U-K-E, Duke.
Oh, God.
Now, they're up by five. I just want to make sure y'all know that. So, no. It's looking okay right now. We're in the second half. But I just had to put my 2 cents in. What's going on, fellas?
Well,
hey, Ricky.
For those,
who is this?
For those who don't know.
D-U-K-E, Duke. Who is this calling in? From the 202 on that.
What's up, Black? It's been a minute. It's been a good minute.
What's going on,
For those who don't know, this happens to be Slick Rick. He makes a cameo appearance every now and then. And this cameo appearance, he comes in talking about Duke.
I got to come in and talk about Duke because this is the team we took the L to. And you know how much flack I caught over this? I have no respect for Florida State whatsoever because they don't impress me. But for some reason, ever since they just moved over to the ACC, they've been like a thorn in my hip or something. So everybody wants to get on me about Florida State and Duke. And like it's a big rivalry. Like it's a bigger rivalry than North Carolina and Duke. Trust me, they're not going anywhere. They may get in the 64, but by the time the 32 comes around, they're done. So I'm not worried about it.
Well, since you brought Duke up, I really reluctantly do this, but I want to ask you about the two players of the two former NBA players, Mr. Curry and Mr. Rivers. What do you think about both of those guys, and who's going to go to the NBA first after this year?
Let me tell you, for some reason, I got a feeling that if Rivers is smart enough, and I believe he is, truthfully, he'll stay for his four because, you know, I'm really a proponent of college staying all 4 years if they have that type of ability. And I think that Rivers will be one of those guys that can stay for all four. Curry, I think Curry might make that jump just because of the simple fact that, you know, he's got a little more swag with him. Rivers is he's a little stable, you know, and a stable player always goes and gets that degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Curry won't get the degree. I just think that Rivers will stay and do the full four compared to Curry. Curry's got a little more. I don't even know how to say it. I don't want to say a little more to offer, but that's where I'm leaning towards. He's got a little more to offer when it comes to the NBA. But Rivers is going to be a very consistent player, and you can see that in Rivers. But I don't want him to get too big-headed on it because Rivers is, truthfully, he's carrying this team right now.
Okay.
And, I think that he can.
There is no way in hell that Rivers stays all 4 years.
No, but I'm telling you, Black, he can stay and play all 4 years and still come out next year as a top 10 pick.
I think Rivers is coming back for one more year, maybe two, but not the whole four.
I think Rivers has something going for him a lot of college basketball players don't. His dad has a good job, you know? I mean, that's kind of personal, but it's relevant, you know what I mean? So you assume his family is comfortable enough where he doesn't need to come out early. Because that makes a difference. Look at Joaquin Noah. He went 4 years in college, and part of it was because, you know, his dad was a big tennis star and then became a big music star in Europe. So, you know, his family wasn't starving because some of these guys, it's legitimate. A, they don't want to get hurt and ruin their big payday. And a lot of times, you know, there's family issues. So Rivers, fortunately, has a stable family situation.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Now we're talking, now that we've finished talking about Duke, is there anything else that you want to talk about with Duke, Ricky, before we move on?
You know what? I'm going to let Duke be. We're not going to talk about Duke anymore until the tournament comes up. Because March is right there, and we're the defending champs. So I want everybody to gloat. Give me all the hate. And we're going to keep it moving. I'm not going to say too much, because when the tournament comes up, that's when I'll feel the heat right there.
Okay. All right. As you guys know, we got about 9 minutes left in the show. I'll say it again. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. The chat room is also open. I think I failed to mention that, but if anybody's in the chat or wants to get in the chat, you can do that. Or if you just want to listen, that's fine too. Like I said, this theme of this show is about pressure, different types of pressure. Well, all these college players, football players I'm talking about, especially the invitees, I think there's over 300, between 300 and 400 guys that got invited to the NFL Combine I'm talking about. This is another type of pressure that these guys are in a pressure cooker under the microscope. All of the linemen, linebackers, running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers, tight ends. Who am I leaving out? I don't think I'm leaving any special teams, whatever that is. They're all going to be under some type of pressure at different points over the next few days. They started arriving yesterday. Supposedly, the offensive linemen and the tight ends arrived yesterday, supposedly, and got medical exam, psychological testing, interviews, and things like that. And met with the NFL PA, that's supposed to happen on Friday. And Saturday is the workout and timing for the offensive linemen and the tight ends. Sunday is for the wideouts, quarterbacks, and running backs, which is pretty much the must-see TV for the most people who are infatuated with those positions. Those are the, for lack of a better word, money positions, the flamboyant positions, running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. They showcase them all together on one day. And then on defensive linemen and linebackers are on Monday, along with DBs who are working out on Tuesday. So,
what do you guys think about the decision by Robert Griffin not to throw at the combine, but at his pro day?
Ricky, you take that first, and then Jeff. And then I'll take it, and then Black can respond after I respond. Go ahead, Rick.
Let me tell you, he has to show me something for real. And I'm not disrespecting Robert Griffin, but I can't give him too much. And I'm going to sway a little. I'm going to sway back a little bit, because this time last year we were, and I'm going to say we because – it wasn't just me. It was a couple of y'all. But we were the same way when it came to Cam Newton. You see what I'm saying? And Cam Newton seriously just told us that I'm for real. And I love it now. I love Cam Newton. This is what I need Robert Griffin to do, the same thing. I need him to do the exact same thing that Cam Newton did. Shut me up. You see what I'm saying? Right now, I'm not sold on Robert Griffin. I understand. He did what he did in college, but the pro game is like it's 10 times more. I need Robert Griffin to show me that he belongs in the pro game. So right now, I don't care what nobody says about Robert Griffin III, RG3, whatever the nickname is everybody wants to have for him. I'm not sold. Sell me on the name. Sell me on the game. That's it.
Jeff?
You know, I can't dispute what Ricky's saying. I think frequently when a guy doesn't throw, and usually it's a star guy like a Robert Griffin or a potential star guy, when they decide not to throw at the combine, it's a business decision, of course. And, they have the pro day, and he'll probably look good at that. It's a business decision. This is what people advise them of. And, I mean, of course, to a fan, it doesn't look good, but not necessarily. And I think there's probably been plenty of guys who didn't throw or run at the pro day who still were really good pros. Yeah, sure. I mean, what's the point of going to the combine and not throwing? But whatever, for whatever reasons, I said it's, you know, his agents or whatever told him it's in his best interest. It's the business, you know. And, you know, for the teams and for the players, so.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, I think it's a mistake. Here's a chance for Robert Griffin to be the man to showcase his talents Andrew Luck isn't going to be throwing. This is the best opportunity. I mean, I understand he's going to have a pro day. I understand that. I think it's the day after Andrew Luck has his pro day. But this is his first opportunity that he can get maybe a leg up on Andrew Luck. He may be able to change the Indianapolis Colts' mind and say, you know what, give him something to think about. Maybe we shouldn't take Andrew Luck first. Maybe we should take RG3 because he affords us more versatility at the quarterback position than Andrew Luck. But he could prove me wrong, but I would think this would be an opportunity for him to showcase his talents and say, I'm better than Andrew Luck, and this is how I'm better than him. What do you think there, Black?
I think it's a good decision by Griffin. He has nothing to prove. We all know who's going number one, Mr. Luck, to Indianapolis. I mean, do you really want to just prove that you can be number one as well? I really have no problem with it. I think he's going to come out in the press at his pro day. Definitely think he's going to come out in the press at his pro day. There's no lack of talent there. RG3, Mr. Ricky, is the real deal, my friend.
All right. Well, Dave, I can't do nothing but sit here and all I'm going to do is hope for the best, because when it came down to the basketball and Kevin Durant, you know, I was already sold, but now I'm like, I want all that memorabilia that man puts out. So I'm hoping RG3 is the real deal, for real.
Okay. Well, we got about less than a minute left in the show. You guys got any closing remarks that you want to say before I close this show out so I can finish watching the rest of this Miami game?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please make sure you tune in next week. We will have one Victor Page, who used to play with the Georgetown Hoyas, in the same backcourt with Allen Iverson back in the 90s. We're going to catch up with Victor Page, see what he's been up to. There's a documentary that's being filmed right now about his life. We'll have Vic with us next week, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Make sure you stay with us.
Jeff?
I'm looking forward to next week. Hope to catch everybody then.
What about you, Slick Rick? You got anything to say?
Well, I'm definitely hoping I have that day off next week. This job has been for real, and I just want to make sure all the fans out there and all the people out there understand. It's not a game this year. This is 2012. 2011, it was Duke. 2012 is D-U-K-E, Duke.
Oh, boy.
Just make sure we understand that.
D-U-K-E.
Number four, right, if you're looking at this right now, it's 66-58. Let's get it together.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I cannot believe in the land of We Are Georgetown, you're just spitting this Duke foolishness, man.
Hey, in the land of We Are Georgetown, y'all better understand, George has been sent to town.
All right, I got to close this show out, guys. It's been a pleasure. Tune in next week when we have our special guest, Victor Page, formerly Georgetown, at 8 o'clock, quite naturally, the FSP Cruise Show, which is myself, JT, along with Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, and hopefully we'll have Slick Rick. And also on Saturday, the FSP Cruise Show. I do believe Mr. Gardner will be hosting it again. I'll be jumping in as usual. Maybe Black will be showing up. Maybe even Jeff or Rick be showing up. Who knows?
Hey, real quick, shout out to Vic for doing the Gus Farad impersonation. You know, I'm messing with him on that right now. I hope he gets well, but the Gus Farad impersonation.
Unnecessarily roughness
this
on Rick.
That is not right.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
Yo, he knows I was going to do it, but shout out to Vic. Yo, you did it better than anyone else.
Okay. And also on Sunday at 10 a.m. for an hour, you get to talk to me, JT, and the show is The Master Plan. We'll be talking about the combine for one, because we'll be in full mode in the combine by then, and also whatever else that happens to hit my mind at the time. And then as on Tuesday, Compassion the Teeny. That happens to be a very unique show that is hosted by Kim Fun, and she has some unique guests also. Very interesting and totally out of the realm of the other three shows that we had. So tune in. All four of those shows are unique in their own right. And for Rick, Jeff, Black, and myself, I want to say have a safe week, and we'll talk to you next week. Like I said before, this is the FSP Cruise Show, and we're out.
Yeah. Mr. Encore, fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy sports and politics crew.